Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek Preservations.
Welcome, travelers. I'm Lee Wanika, and this is Tabletop Journeys. Here today, we're starting one of the inaugural events that will fit within the Star Trek Preservations actual play game world. We are doing small little vignettes called Quick Tracks. The idea here is to expand the universe of Star Trek Preservations in interesting and unique ways that don't neatly fit in the bow tie that is a given Star Trek Preservations episodes. Our effort to create and maintain fun episodes that are engaging and to the point as much as a tabletop role-playing game can be are a lot of fun, and they work really well. But every so often, there are these side scenes, little diversions that are important to the overall story that just don't fit within single episodes. So what we've done is asked our cast to join us from time to record these little solo scenes or single scenes, sometimes duo and pair scenes, in an effort to continue to expand the world that is Star Trek Preservations. For those who may or may not be in the know, we've done this on a larger scale with Star Trek Expeditions. Our Patreon game runs mostly monthly, with the idea being there's a whole new crew working in the world that we inhabit, doing missions under the behest of Commodore Pritchard and Ashlyn stations, doing different things that track back and relate back to what's happening on the Delamis Christian. Recently, I've begun doing a series of episodes at conventions and other live appearances, local game stores, known as Star Trek Aegis. More details on that to come. So if you happen to be at any of the conventions that I'm going to, whether it be Drinking and Dragons, I recently was at Total Con and Rising Phoenix Con. I have some other cons coming up this summer. Feel free to grab a seat at one of those tables and join this engaging world that we're all collectively building together, because it all does come back. More on all of those details later. That said, we're going to jump right into this scene today, which is including our ship's XO, and I will let the player introduce themselves today.
Hi, I'm Adam Scaramella, and I portray Ocean Chazilra, the Delamis Christian's Andorian first officer.
When last we left Commander Ocean, he was remaining on his homeworld, Saltek 4, to take care of a little bit of investigation. Spent a little time with his family. For those who are caught up, you would know that Ocean's father is dealing with a terrible illness that at this point is terminal. Little warning, if these are issues that are concerning to you or maybe triggering, please keep that in mind. But our goal is not to dwell on that element of it as much, but it is part of the story, so I do want to make sure that anybody who might have concerns there is aware. We're going to move right into our opening scene. Ocean is in the room with his father. We are in the twilight stages of what's happening. However, you do have some time to spend. Your father is semi-reclined, but mostly awake, definitely alert, but not doing particularly well. He coughs a lot, that type of thing.
Well, I think Ocean will have been here for a little while. There will be a table that is set up next to his bed, and the two of them are playing a game of chess. It's a variant of it, of course. It's Star Trek, but this is a game that the two of them used to play when Ocean was younger, and they're currently making small talk about what has been going on with Ocean's career. And there's things that he is very plain about, the fact that he can't share for obvious reasons. But it is good work. He'll probably, as he's moving a piece, he'll say, it's good work. It's an honorable cause that I'm involved in.
Your father will move a piece, cough slightly, and say, I've never doubted your choices in cause. You've always been remarkable in that way. But do you think those you serve are deserving of your efforts?
So I'll pause and consider what I can share. Goals of Starfleet are noble, but that does not mean that everyone within the organization is as honorable as they should be. Membership does not connotate honor. We're currently looking at an individual now who has violated that trust, dealing with some of the incident here.
Really? Anything you can share?
Suffice to say that the crew on the station will be rotated soon.
Crew of one being rotated, I see.
That's interesting. He had told us that he had a colleague. Was that a complete lie?
No. Not a complete lie. I have it on some authority that their colleague has spent very little time on station.
Unsurprising. But, as I said, case in point. But most of the crew that I am currently working on are good people. I have little reason to distrust them, and as the XO, I have more insight than most into their personal records. And aside from being one or two of them did get up to some antics in the academy and beforehand, but I don't think that's anything that I need to worry about.
My thoughts when you first put on that uniform.
Yeah, I do. But I needed to be somebody. I needed to do something that was my own. You and Osara leave big shadows. And I did not want to live.
It's every Andorian's right to stand in the clear light of the sun on a mountain alone and know that they climbed that mountain. Just make sure that you always have a base camp to return to. My biggest fear, what worried me the most, is not that harm would come to you. It wasn't that you might be indoctrinated into some fantasy flight of superheroics gallivanting across the galaxy. It was the thought that your life could be wasted in a fruitless effort because of an unseen leader who wasn't honorable enough to earn your dedication and loyalty. But I see you have reached a point in your career that you're the one at the table helping to decide what happens and where you go and what you do. Teach your officers to be independent thinkers. Teach them to earn their subordinates' loyalty. Teach them to climb their own mountains and stand in their own suns, as you have, as you continue to do. I have but one parting gift for you. You asked me when we spoke before returning to Saltec 4 about some of the things that were happening and all of the things that were going on. I am not sure if it pertains to why you're here or not. But I do know a little bit about this other person who worked at the station. I know who their mentor was, and I may even know where they went. Their mentor is currently on a temporary assignment at Deep Space Nine. They've completed a few assignments at several stations. They have been installing the non-sentient androids at several stations. The missing person you know of was trained specifically by them, but my understanding is they are a big fan of some of the experiences at some of the various calderas in the in this region. Called Eflon Bay, where they provide tours to an underwater caldera system. There's a undersea base there where it's more like a hotel, but they actually have several science stations and different experiments that are going on. This particular scientist spends a lot of time there.
This is the mentor or the...
No, this is the scientist who was assigned. The mentor was previously at Utopia Planitia, and now they moved on to Deep Space Nine.
And who is this?
Their name is Dr. Ajal. Dr. Ajal is a Vulcan scientist with specialties in programming positronic studies in android mechanics.
The name of Janik's co-worker. And while you're looking that up, the tourist trap is on Soltec 4.
It's quite a ways from here. Obviously, easier by Star Trek standards to get to, but it's not in this general vicinity. Kolo Koom is the scientist. She is a Tellarite, rather.
I remember that they were a Tellarite.
Some of their specialties are the programming, AI systems, and Andorian clans of the pre-industrial period. That's their pastime in experimental technology.
That was the third specialty?
Yeah.
And Dr. Arshall didn't have a, you didn't mention a rank, so I'm assuming he's not part of Starfleet. Or they are not. I think you said it was a she.
Yeah, Kolo's a she, her, and Dr. Arshall is a he, him.
All right, so the Eflon Bay is on Soltec 4. This is, again, something new that I would not have been a thing when I was here before.
The bay was here. The fact that it had some scientific importance was probably known, but nobody around here. This is a former mining colony. While people cared about this type of thing, they didn't focus on this type of thing. It would not have been all that important for what they've got.
Okay. So the fact that it's a tourist trap is a little odd, and I do remember that the new governor is really trying to clean up this area, but in the back of my mind, it's also a recognizing that it's an opportunity for casual visitation to this moon, and that it's, that's exactly where Ocean's head is instead. Okay, highly unlikely, but yes.
It is basically the scientific version of I'm an import-exporter. So you are grokking it precisely what's being laid down.
How did you come by to know about Dr. Arshall?
I've known about Kolo Koom for a while when Starfleet puts a station with defensive capabilities of that nature directly above your head. You pay attention to who's assigned there. Kolo Koom, let's just say they're not the kind of sort that anybody gives security clearances to. They talk a lot. Word gets out that they're here, that they work on androids, and more specifically, there's just a lot of chatter that they hate working for their Vulcan boss. And once their primary task, which was to get their system set up, were done, they basically have been told to use their time wisely in other scientific endeavors. So they've spent a lot of time researching the clans, researching flora and fauna of the Soltec seas, effectively on a non-sabbatical. They are officially doing Starfleet work because they're a scientist doing science things, but it has nothing to do with the mission of the station.
Okay.
Barely noticed until the trial and a lot of additional Starfleet personnel. There's been a lot of minor inquiries and people who think they have their ear to the ground talking to people in some of the areas where Starfleet's just not really good enough to be.
Assume Ashara didn't discuss much of the case with you.
She didn't give me a lot of details, but she did let me know some of the people that if things go the way she thinks they will go, will be in jeopardy. She's going to make a big name for herself. The kind of name that it's going to get a lot of notice from departments within Starfleet.
He's sharp, give her that. He's smart enough to lay a false trail as to when she was going to be moving the witness, but unfortunately she didn't. Then she counted on the fact that they would have staked it out much further, faster than that.
That? or there was an inside plant. How many Starfleet personnel did you see herself surrounded by in that situation?
Oh, none.
She's convinced that somebody knew, but the trial date involves way too many to control. A public notification is one thing. That gets out the minor players, the foolish ones. But there's a lot of people that have to know about the real date. The real time. I'm convinced there was somebody in Starfleet who knew.
One more thing to look into. She didn't tell me who the buyer was. Do you think she knew?
Not before the trial. Based on the, and this is Limonika saying, you were present for the testimony of the witness, so you will actually know the buyer's identity and is definitely a high-ranking member of the Ebony Knot. The Andorian Nightshade.
They're Andorian?
Oh, yeah. They're not the leader of the Ebony Knox, but they are the specific buyer. As the idea was, Ebony Knox made arrangements with a local group to buy the stolen merchandise. They are the ones that were identified by the witnesses taking possession of the stolen merchandise.
Okay.
So, effectively the buyer.
And my understanding is that... the person who stole it was selling it to the Ebony Knox, because I thought they arranged the theft and they were going to pass it on to somebody else because they were more or less local.
Yeah, so the person who actually stole it.
Yes.
The witness worked for them, right? Okay. They transferred it to Ebony Knox by way of Nightshade. And right. What they know of is Nightshade was selling this merchandise to another entity. Yes. They don't know who that other entity is, but they connected it to Nightshade. Now that we have eyewitness confirmed testimony that Ebony Knox has done this, they can use that to take down this entire organization. Since Ebony Knox had been turning in so many of the other syndicates... Mm-hmm. Basically letting the law take those out. The law here has actually dismantled nearly every syndicate, which was probably about, in the capital area, probably about 5 or 6, but colony-wide, there might have been about 16 of them. They had really gotten the power base down to just 2, this local group and Ebony Knox. This one case will eliminate the power base. It doesn't mean crime's gone, but what it means is there will no longer be an organized head of the crime, which in theory means a lot easier to mop up. This case breaks the last 2 mob families in the colony.
Okay.
And that is a done deal at this point. They now have the evidence. Arrest warrants are being drafted. Cases which were built but were waiting for this evidence are now engaged. Just in the time since the court case, like literally within a day or two of the court case, you're hearing word of raids on various locations, syndicate safe houses. These organizations are going down. You've got minor felons in these groups, minor troublemakers and agitators in these groups that, after this case, they've seen the writing in the wall. They are scattering. Like, the light is on, the roaches are running for the walls, but all the walls are closed off because they have severely limited, by way of the satellite, any off-world transportation. They, while not imposing martial law per se, nobody's leaving the world without significant inspection. If the computer models are accurate, within 6 months or so, there should be no organized crime anywhere on Saltec 4.
Okay, that's good to know.
They have not found Nightshade, by the way. That individual has not been captured. There's a Federation-wide warrant for Nightshade's arrest and capture. Now, who they sold to, that is completely unknown. But one of the things that they are finding in the raids for Ebony Knox, again, information you'd be privy to just based on your rank and kind of your general knowledge is that Ebony Knox locations are remarkably devoid of high tech. They don't tend to have recording devices, all of that. They'll have weapons, they'll have all kinds of things, but they don't do recording devices. The only devices that they really have are devices that scan those. So outside of their safe houses, there will be caches where devices get left. They're very paranoid about being recorded, about being... They are, as their name would suggest, opaque in that regard. Very careful, like bizarrely careful. Like, mob organizations are usually about careful, but how do you make people afraid of you if they can't see what you're willing to do? These guys are not looking to have a presence as much as they are here to do whatever it is they wish to do.
That's good. All right. That answers my question. So I had just asked him if he knew, if he thought she knew who the buyer was from the and when he says that reminds me of that piece, I'm like, yeah. But we don't know yet who the Knox was going to sell it to. And as I recall, Luminika, we recovered the plans for the device or the actual device.
You recovered description of the device, not plans for the device. It was more like you got the notification or you got the information as to what they were there to take. And then there was a list of other things that they were supposed to take also to scatter the investigation process. There were several things taken, some of which the local group had and their finding, others of which went to Ebony Knox as well. Some of that has already been found, but there are still probably 8 things that are in the wind that were in this on-planet black site that they
stole from. Right, and the thing that we care about is one of those 8 items.
Correct. If you'd like, I'm going to give you a task, an investigative type task. You tell me your approach and all that in a moment, with standard degree of complication, but it is going to be a task 3. As a reminder, the previous quick checks left you with 2 momentum to start and 7 threat. I did forget to mention at the outset that we are starting each of the quick checks with 1 threat per player. So you now have 8 threat, which is... They left you in better shape than Tenari and Neela left Glenn and Joe. They were left with no momentum and a fat load of threat. And Glenn actually tried to argue for a little bit more, as it were. But that was a fun little conversation. But so you've got some stuff to play with. But essentially, it's to see if you pick up on a thread in all this amount of information that you've had since your time in total on Soltech 4, based on some of the nuances of this specific conversation and that brief remembrance of some of those trial details and thinking on the missing items and such.
I'll tell you that the things that I'm thinking about looking into are the... I was actually making a list of action items. There's 2 things that I want to look into. The first is who knew the real time of the trial, seeing if I can get a list of that. And since we believe that it is somebody on the Starfleet side, that should be, I don't want to say relatively easy to get, but I won't need to worry about asking the governor for access to their systems. The second thing that I want to look into, and this is a little bit more sketchy, I would like to see if I can access logs of the tourists who attended who went to Eflon Bay. See if I can get my hands on those so that we can see if there are patterns, if there's somebody who spent a little bit of extra time there, someone who spent the same amount of time, who was there in conjunction with Cola. Those are the things that I'm thinking about now, because I think those will give me some names that I can follow up on. I don't think that anything is here.
All right. So, based on where your head's at, it's not going to add any specific traits to this role for notice, but I will definitely allow, with any success, any momentum spends you wish to make to get extra information, you could certainly lean into those two issues based on this role because it is a related investigation. Those thoughts are not going to add a benefit to the role's difficulty, complication, or otherwise. Won't do anything to impact that, but is tangentially related, so it will certainly get the benefit of any momentum spends that you may generate through this process. Let's see. So let me make sure I clarify the basics as I think I've got it. Your Starfleet questions is who knew the real info on the trial dates or who knew or had access?
Correct.
And regarding Aflon Bay, a list of the tourists who may have visited.
Yes.
Excellent. And your notice role, if you'd be so kind.
Okay, notice would be...
And again, difficulty 3, no extended complication range.
I think this is going to be a security reason check, because I'm looking through systems, and I'm trying to follow the threads here, and I don't think anything else would come up as far as the attributes. Definitely security. I am going to spend a point of momentum to get a third die.
One momentum, third die, you got it.
Unless the focus of security systems would come into play, I would have 3 successes. If it did come into play, I would have a critical.
I would say it does come into play because you're looking for who had access to information. It's not okay. Just about who knew, it's who had access to that information and who, more importantly, has access to that information. So that would definitively be a security systems kind of role. Okay. So that sounds like you have 4 successes total.
Yep. And I needed 3 on that.
Yep. So you have 1 momentum, and so which would add, you had spent 1, you have a total of 2. You have some momentum spends at your disposal. You had 2 lines of inquiry that you can either do separately, or if you wished to use your momentum to get something done on those, you absolutely could. Before you answer that question, there are 2 things that I've been waiting to the first challenge to let each of the other cast members know in their quick tracks. Is one of the things that Josh and I have been working on in the last month and a half or so is preparing to start handling the advancement system for Star Trek Adventures the way it probably should have been, with some of the alterations that we see in Klingon Federation War Book and with potential future changes based on what comes out in second edition. But in prepping for that future, one of the things we know is we haven't necessarily done this element of the game its due justice as one kind of a in-game reward for play over the past year and a half. I'm going to be granting a specific trait to each of you relevant to your experiences thus far, as well as an additional focus. So it's not a new focus. It's not a swap out like with advancement. It is actually a bonus focus. So you'll have an additional focus. And in this case, that bonus focus is Epsilon Detection Investigation. It's a weird set of phrases, but it is done that way for its specificity. If you're doing tasks that involve the detection of an Epsilon species in any way, whatever disciplines, whatever other challenges are involved, whatever techniques or tools you're using, this focus comes into play because you have dealt with Epsilon species enough times and in so many ways, with the largest focus of that being, how do I identify them? How do I recognize them? Are they here? Are they there? That I want that to be a part of your characters and reflected, because that has been a major part of what you've done. So I think narratively it works with the things you've done up to this point. And a bonus because we hadn't done advancement quite right. It's one of the more challenging parts of 1E. I think as a GM, it's the least straightforward part about the game. So I avoided it in general, but trying to make up for that lost ground with a plan now that I know more to do more. As far as the trait, you have the trait clandestine operative. Now, this has some potential positive benefits. It can become a really good trait to invoke if you're in scenes where that becomes very helpful, very well known. But it can also be a negative in that it is a trait. So if someone's paying attention, they might pick out your trade dress, how you operate, how you act, the way you ask questions. So it's 2 tier 1 operators walk into a bar. They will recognize each other. They may not identify themselves. They may not notify each other, but they will recognize that person has tradecraft. And they'll go about their business, maybe pay a little bit more attention. So depending on what circles you're in, that either calls you out or becomes a big asset. It is also one of those things that, depending on what kind of situation you're going into, you may wish to a task role to tamp that down so you can use that knowledge, but you are less noticeable. Or you may want to spend momentum so that trait isn't noticed or picked up on, which is basically you saying, I know I'm walking into the lion's den right now. I don't need them to know I'm another lion, right? So that's how that trait would operate for you. Because I think a good trait in Star Trek Adventures should have both the positive and the negative situational values or situational impacts.
Fantastic. I like it. I like it. When we had been talking about Starfleet, I had considered the fact that he was somebody who had gone through the advanced, I think I forget the terminology that they used in the lore, but it was he was on that particular track. So that kind of really works out nicely. Yeah.
What has really led me down this path is using the BC Holmes tool. I've done a lot of looking at the continuing missions content for life path events. And when you get into your career events, one of them is recruited by Section 31. And then there's a couple others recruited by Starfleet Intelligence. And they're two separate ones, by the way. I always thought that was very cool and really brought back my love of the Starfleet Intelligence book from Last Unicorn Games, sitting on that shelf over there, one of my favorite books from that set. And it was one of those things where I'm like, yeah, but people know people. Like, I sit down and can tell when somebody has been in the military, generally speaking, or at least has some familiarity with military protocol. I can tell that. I was only in for 8 years. I was around military for much longer, but I have a limited capacity to do that. And I know that's a real thing that people can pick up on. It fits really nicely.
Awesome.
What I would like you to do before we decide which of those two you're going to use your momentum for, unless you're going to use enough momentum.
This was the looking into the records of who had access to the trial, not about the bay.
Got it. Okay. So I would like you to roll a number of challenge dice equal to your reason and security, and I'd like you to count your effects as well as the total number.
All right. Here, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 14 successes, and that is with 5 deltas.
Okay. So the 5 names we're about to give you, they are the names that had – all of these names had access. The 5 names I'm going to give you are the ones who accessed the information that stand out because there wasn't really a need to go access and get the details.
Okay. And by the way, I would probably be doing this in my father's old office.
Captain Druce Vergic, a Bajoran male. You have Lieutenant Commander Birsa Safit, who is a Bajoran female. You have Lieutenant Kasul, a Cation female. Lieutenant Mur, a Cation male. And you have Lieutenant Ethan Hawthorne, a human male.
Okay. And these are the people that had access, but they really didn't have a good reason to have used it.
Correct. You have 5 names of folks who did the access based on the success of your role. You have another 9 names of people who had access that, at least as far as Anne have been able to tell, did not access the information. So while they could have, they certainly didn't. They were basically on world, would have been part of various rotations, that type of thing. So that's the Starfleet side of who could have known about what's going on. There is, of course, the local legal side of who could have known, but that has not thus far been.
My instinct is to immediately start looking at their Starfleet records, but I don't want to do that from here. I don't think. At least I'm not sure that I do. Let's move on to the Eflin Bay Lodge. Okay.
Now, is this going to be another challenge, or are we doing a momentum spend, or did you want to do a momentum spend on what you have right now?
No, I'm going to put the momentum back, the single momentum back into the pool.
Okay.
No, actually, you know what? I'm going to use that momentum to gather more information about that. And that's a single question, yes?
Yes. You can spend more. That is repeatable. So
yes.
If you have two momentum, you can certainly spend up to two and get two answers at this stage if you so choose.
No, the question that I want to ask about that is, and this gets into comparing against Starfleet information, do any of those records look like they were, that they occurred from locations that they shouldn't have been, like the Impossible Journey, or that there's logs on one side saying that they got the record, but not they erased their log. They erased the log from wherever they were sending it from. Does that make sense? That there's something fishy going on with the request, like it's either not being made by the appropriate person, or that person was trying to make it seem that whatever console they were sending it from wouldn't have recorded that information.
So, with that momentum spend, the thing you can tell is that the origins of the requests were legit. They were basically done from official sources. Your daughter's office at the behest had all the official things as far as setting up the ruse. All of that was signed off on. The only things that were off the book, it was specifically stated that it won't even be entered into the record and it won't be redacted, is your daughter was exercising local contacts that she had to provide a safe house location, because her and her boss were well aware that there was something fishy within, potentially either within Starfleet or within the local conservatory. Their thought was, and the way they documented the issue was very simple: we strongly believe it is local and highly unlikely that it's Starfleet. That's political speak for it's probably in-house. So as not to create an incident that makes Starfleet look bad, we're going to utilize local resources at this point forward. It simply says that she is going to call in a security specialist from a different sector he was going to call in a security specialist from a different sector to provide intel and information. That individual is only listed by the name St. Cuthbert. That was how they devised this plan. That dovetails with what you know. Your former crewmate was on site. He said, look, this isn't what I'm actually in the area for. I've got other things to do, but I thought you should know. So he was brought in to say, help me get a safe place. He got them a safe place. He took the time to notify you because he didn't think whatever was going on was sustainable. And then he had to go carry on with what he had to do. So that jives with everything you know. So this information was good. The fact that these five individuals accessed the information has the potential to be either one of them gave up the goods, or they were simply curious as to why are these weird things happening, and they're doing what security personnel would do, which is investigate oddities.
Okay.
Thus far, without further investigation, you wouldn't have an idea of which of those paths it would be. But you've got five names who did something they weren't supposed to do. You just don't know their motives and their actions following.
Got it. All right. So let's move on then to the Eflin Bay investigation.
Sounds good.
So I currently have one momentum in the pool?
You have one momentum in the pool at this stage.
Okay. I'm going to spend it to get another die.
Excellent. Eflin Bay is going to be a similar die roll task difficulty, even though it's a little sketchier in that you're looking for information on potentially private citizens. It is not any more difficult. In fact, it's actually a bit easier. But there is an added complication range of 2, 18, 19, or 20. Okay. I will advise you that the added complication is if it is known that you're getting into non-publicly available but private non-governmental records via Starfleet, that could create issues in NCs. There's no laws against it specifically, as long as you can justify you're in an investigation, but it will make Starfleet look bad. And you may have future repercussions and questions if you are caught. That is the complication result.
Okay. It's a good thing that I have cautious security because I did roll a 19.
Alrighty. And how many successes?
Total of 3.
Excellent. No momentum. You have the total list of tourists. There are several, and I'm assuming you gave them a range that's appropriate to investigation, all of all the good parameter type stuff. Within that, not a lot stands out as being particularly unusual, but there are some confluences of events. When you look at one of your target investigation targets, Lieutenant Kolo Koum, when you look at that list of individuals, you will see two names are at the bay every time Kolo Koum visited the bay. Okay. They tended to stay about 2 or 3 days each. They always arrived in separate transports. They always left in separate transports or teleports. There's nothing in any official records that would indicate that they did anything specific together. You don't see orders at a restaurant or anything like that, anything that would identify them at the same times. It is intriguing to note that, one, they were always there in those same periods of time. There usually was any number of either classes, symposiums, discussions, and they consistently went to a wellness seminar at the same time that tended to have a relatively small clientele.
Okay, and those two people?
One was a human by the name of Bradley, and that's a human of Mars Colony.
Okay.
A betazoid by the name of Tam.
I'm assuming he, him, and she, her, respectively?
Yes.
Okay.
And a Klingon by the name of Barak.
I assume he, him?
Yes.
So that's three. You said two. Originally,
I gave you an extra name because as I was putting them in, I realized that there would need to be one other person for reasons.
These individuals, I'll do a cursory scan of general records to see whether or not these people are known or that they really exist.
Barak definitely exists. Simply known, Barak is muscle for hire. Not known to do anything of a work with or do anything of a criminal nature, but they tend to only work with and for individuals that are under some form of threat. So they're who you hire when you know somebody's after you, kind of thing. Dolly Tam is a negotiator. They are also for hire, and they tend to be hired when deals are on the line and you need an individual to back your player. They have run into legal issues with their fellow betazoids in that the typical way betazoids are try to be non-intrusive and not to utilize their abilities and capabilities in intrusive ways doesn't seem to have applied to this individual. They're very good at skirting the law. They're very good at avoiding direct implications, but they have worked for all kinds of sketchy people at many times. Bradley Smith is a human and a scientist who has worked for a number of organizations. They're a former employee of Daystrom Institute, but they have worked very specifically on integration systems, information systems, as well as quantum pathway deletion technologies. Basically, the ability to erase all the hallmarks and footprints of intrusion into a system so it looks like nobody has gotten into a system, or even if you can tell that somebody got there, they blur the lines of who that could have been or where that could have originated from. They, as opposed to focusing on security elements that block intrusion or open or specifically do better at opening intrusion, he has developed a series of programming processes and protocols that obscure intrusion, so it makes it harder to track. That individual has definitely run afoul of legal systems, but tends to be on a more system local basis as opposed to a federation wide type of situation. So there are several systems, about 14 in total, that they actually cannot go to because they are wanted by the law there, but they tend to go other places.
So that you said that challenge was easier than the first one. So that means I have two momentum?
No, it was the same as the other one. So it was just it had a higher complication. So it's the same difficulty, okay. Higher complication range.
So I have one back then.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to spend it to gather more information and see if I can determine where these individuals went after the last time that they came here.
Sure.
And obviously when that was, I assume that would be in the information that I already had.
With that spent, down to zero momentum. With that information, it's pretty easy. Barack follows Bradley Smith like you wouldn't believe. Wherever Bradley Smith goes, Barack goes. Their travels are always in concert, though for whatever reason, they came to this place separately. But they entered and left the colony as a whole together. So it's like they came together, stayed in one place, went their separate ways, came here separately, reconnected where they were supposed to be, and then left together. As far as Dolly Tam goes, Tam apparently lives in the colony somewhere in one of the nicer districts. They've got a nice apartment, not terribly far from where the last adventure took place. They have a small business set up. So apparently they were the local contact hired for likely a series of negotiations.
Okay. And where did Bradley go after this?
Bradley and Barack, they left on a freighter ship from the area that was scanned and passed inspection at the Orville Station a few weeks right before the Delamis Christian came up. Pretty much within a couple of days of the theft.
Before the theft or after the
after.
Theft? Okay. So where did that freighter go? Or what's the name of the freighter first?
The freighter is the Shin Thon Vane.
Hang on, I'm going to write that down.
I think I put it... Oh, sorry, I put it in the wrong chat. The Shin Thon Ray, rather, is the name of the freighter. It is a ship of human Federation design, part of a civilian merchant fleet that was sold probably four or five times over. It's in private hands. Because you spent momentum, I will bypass the naming every single shell company, but you trace this back to a company that is well known to be an arm of Starfleet intelligence.
Okay. Do we know where the freighter is right now?
On its way back to Sol System. It's not the fastest thing in the world. It could take weeks.
There is no reason that Dahlia is going to give me any information. And given what she does, I don't think she would care. Or she doesn't have insight into what this. She looked like she was a middleman. I will spend some time, and we don't have to do this now. I will spend some time looking at the records of the five Starfleet individuals. Mm-hmm. But I think I can do that as I take the shuttle back to Christian.
Okay.
I don't think that I'm going to have... I don't think I'm going to get anything else here based on this information. I don't think going to the F1 Bay is going to do me any good because I think I have an idea of what was going on there. Did the record of the wellness seminar have the instructor's name? Just in the off chance it comes up again, I'll make a note of it. Other than that, I don't think that I would be doing any more digging before returning to that. I think I have the information that we need to investigate further. So what I'll probably do is have a final dinner with my father and my daughter in his hospital room. If she's still here, I assume she is.
She is.
And a final drink with Ike.
Yes, I think that's... Yeah. Yep. The name of the instructor of the wellness event I just posted in the chat, and that is Zima Sessanot, or as their nickname to be, Nightshade.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm glad I asked.
If that didn't button it up for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And put a pretty little bow.
Yeah, let's see. I didn't, because you had, yeah, had a note to ask you after the fact what Nightshade's name was, because you looked it up and then never told me.
First of all, you do get a message that when you were getting ready to go see Ike, that as things were going on, he chose to escort his wife personally where she had to go, so he's away. He decided it's safer to get her out, and he felt more comfortable going with her specifically. So you know they're safe. They're headed away. He'll get word to you once they're settled. Once she's settled somewhere, he will probably make his way back, but he's not planning on doing that anytime in the immediate. When you're at dinner with your family, it goes really well. Your father seems in really good spirits. He's so very proud of his granddaughter. He's has expressed more pride and comfort in your role in Starfleet than he has ever expressed before, and certainly in front of others. The kind of reserve that he has had seems to be almost leaving, like he is saying all the things that he doesn't want to let be left unsaid. But it's not a sad affair. It's actually an enjoyable evening. There's storytelling, sharing old misses and jokes about times when you were growing up, times when your daughter was growing up, all of those good things. At a certain point later in the evening, his nurse says, he does have to get some rest. You can see him in the morning before you leave. He gives you a stronger hug than you've had from him in your time here. He gives your daughter a similar embrace, very lasting with your daughter. And as their embrace parts, he says, tell him and gain his counsel. And then he's escorted off to his bedroom by the nurse. She does her thing. It's a little bit of awkward silence as she like tidies up a few things and tries not get into the conversation. It's pretty clear she didn't want that to be said in front of you. But after the nurse has done their thing, they leave for their quarters and the two of you are there alone. And she says, you're probably going to ask, but I have some news.
Oh, I look around inquiring as to whether or not she wants to talk here or somewhere in private.
She says, here's fine. Father, when I graduate in a few months, I do have a few exams, but all things considered, they are hopefully are likely to be formalities. I've been offered a commission in Starfleet Intelligence. You're walking to an area that used to be like a playroom for your father's grandchildren whenever they would come to the house or whenever they stay there, mm-hmm, or whatever. Yep. And what is this is now an office. It's got a bunch of office things, but there are still like children's artwork and things that your children have done over the years that are in a corner. There's a little covered weird playpen that's made to look like ice kind of thing that where the kids used to play in when they were very little, all those kinds of things. But she has a seat on one of the couches that are there and asks if you want to take a seat. She waves her hand at the seat so you could sit with her. I had intended to join command and take postings leaning that way and away from security and operations and things of that nature, but I've noticed that they've been nosing around for the last year or so. I always assumed with our family history that it had something to do with that, and I'm still not convinced it doesn't. I'm a very good lawyer. I am very good at convincing people of their options, their best interests, persuading them to do the things that I might want them to do. Very good skills for a prosecutor to have. I can go the JAG route, or I can take this offer, but I can't do both. There's a bit of information I was given that didn't appear in the testimony. I'm telling you because I don't know what decision I need to make here. Starfleet Intelligence was involved in all of this somehow. And for all the good bringing in Starfleet en masse here has done to clean up things, protect the civilians of our home. I fear it was truly done to cover up whatever they were actually planning, unbeknownst to the people who called on them in good faith, unbeknownst to the civilians who depend on them for peace and security. I'm not being recruited by the official parts of Starfleet intelligence. I'm being recruited to find out who's behind all this. I'm being asked to sacrifice the career I fought hard to earn for the good of the people I sought to protect. Every part of me thinks that should be an easy decision. But when I have to start lying to bring out the truth, when do I start losing myself, Father?
The knee-jerk answer is when you stop asking yourself that question. There is... My arrival here was fortuitous that I was able to see you and my father. But clearly there was another reason that we came. One that, for obvious reasons, I can't disclose. That being said, what you've said to me, what you've shared, I've been able to corroborate that. That this is bigger than a simple theft. The question is, you say that you're not being recruited by the normal Starfleet intelligence. What do you think that means?
I received a year ago an invitation to apply for and join Starfleet intelligence. What I would assume would be the normal channels. Basically, anybody who did well in certain security protocols and tests and things like that received those communications. They're very standard, and it's practically a bulletin board in the quad. If Boothby allowed it, it would be paper stapled to a tree. This was a communication about 2 days after the trial. Someone who said, if I choose to apply, they can guarantee my acceptance. Their expectations would be that I just do my job, and anything that lends credence to this issue here, these problems here, off the books types of things that delve into some of the areas that we're seeing here, I'd let them know that they were trying to build a case within Starfleet intelligence, that there are bad actors within it. I'm not talking about a coup or anything like that, but there's just something odd going on. Or at least I don't think there's a coup. I just know there's something odd happening. I did a little due diligence in checking a few things. There's been upticks in incidences around the Federation relating to technological glitches, minor security breaches at Federation installations, even some prosecutions of severe security protocol failures at variant Starfleet bases throughout the quadrants. Generally, without doing enough investigation to send up red flags, they always seem to be 2 or 3 degrees of separation from elements within Starfleet intelligence. It was when I... Right around that time when I got that new communication, it wasn't a mandate. It was just a simple statement. If you intend to lift yourself up under your own power, you'll make a decision. It struck me that was something you said to me. or very similar to it. If something is going on and they are paying attention to private conversations that quite honestly were secure as far as I know, do I stay on the outside and let it keep happening? Or do I try to go in, figure it out, and stop it?
Let me ask you a question. 5 years from now, if you follow the JAG path, what will you think about not having investigated this?
That I'll never know if I could have had a chance to stop a great evil. Nobody goes through this kind of effort if they don't have an end goal, and a dangerous one at that.
I will not tell you what to do, but I will suggest that if you follow this path, you will need to make sure that you have a way out in case you've chosen the wrong side unknowingly. If the people that are looking to recruit you are looking to gather information to actually suppress whatever conspiracy they are involved in, how do you get that information out?
I may not be able to tell you what my answer will be. She reaches into the play space and she picks up a ball. It's not terribly hard, but it was like a plastic ball, but it had a big dent and blemish on it. When she was young, there was a brawl between her and her siblings, and one of the siblings got mad and stepped on it and basically broke it from its intended purpose. And it was her favorite toy at the time, and it's still there. She hands that to you. If I ever present you my childhood toy and it's fixed, then you know I'm looking for my out. She gives you a deep embrace. I'm going to feel some kind of way at my graduation. If you feel the need to watch, please do. But I don't think I could bear to see your face as I choose the path, not that I want to, but the path that I have to, with what comes before me, and make that look good.
I understand. I will find some excuse to stay away, but know that I am deeply proud of you. Not for just what you've done over the past few years, but for the honor that I see in you. Before I leave, I'll share with you some of the information that I've learned from your grandfather and your grandmother that may help you stay in communication discreetly. And I will pretty much read her into some of the contacts and the types of communications that I use for reaching out to my contacts, so that she has a way to send me information if she needs to, and I do as well.
She will definitely get that same talent as you have, and they will in fact be the precise same connects and contacts as you have. We'll close the scene there. It's the next morning. Your daughter has already left. She didn't want a second protracted goodbye. You say your goodbyes to your father. Again, a long embrace. It's very silent. The scene is more you moving through these things in that almost slow motion time lapse, with that kind of nostalgic clouding around the edges of the camera view. As you board your shuttle, it's a little after sunrise, but the sun is bright. And actually, over this part of the city, it's been pretty dreary and drab since you got back. It's for the first time a nice, clear, and sunny day. As you're leaving, the weather patterns of a small snow squall that's coming into town, which is a very good omen for spirits of good people passing and leaving to a better life among the stars.
I watch it and finally bid goodbye to my father.
With that, I think we will call this to a close. Thank you, sir. That was some great stuff. Got some good info in there. A bunch of different plot threads going all kinds of different ways. Some things immediate, some things long term. You set up the next generation of operatives, and so cool.
Yeah, this was fun. I very much liked it, just sinking my teeth into this. This is good. So, and I have a stowaway, right? Yeah, that'd be fun. So I will. Yeah, I'll have to come up with a name and a brief description of the creature for you. Thanks for this.